Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When Queen Archie saw that her husband, who had been so merciful to her and the earth, no longer showed symptoms of life, she lamented for a little, and then built a fiery pyre on top of a hill and placed the body of her husband on it. Please repeat. When Queen Archie saw that her husband,
who had been so merciful
and to
her,
the earth, no longer showed symptoms of life. She lamented for a little while, and then built a fiery pyre,
on top of a hill,
and placed the body of her husband on it. Purport. After seeing all the life symptoms in her husband stop, the queen lamented for a while. The word kinchit means for a little while. The queen was completely aware that her husband was not dead, although the symptoms of life, action, intelligence, and sense perception had ceased. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 13, it is stated, Dehinosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jara tatate antaraspaptir dirastatta namuyanti. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. When a living entity transfers from one body to another, a process generally known as death, a sane man does not lament, for he knows that the living entity is not dead, but is simply transferred from one body to another. The queen should have been afraid of being alone in the forest with the body of her husband, but since she was a great wife of a great personality, she lamented for a while, but immediately understood she had many duties to perform. Thus, instead of wasting her time in lamentation, she immediately prepared a fiery pyre on top of the hill and then placed the body of her husband on it to be burned. Maharaj Prithu is described here as Dayita, for not only was he the king of the earth, but he treated the earth as his protected child. Similarly, he protected his wife also. It was the duty of the king to give protection to everyone, especially to the earth or land where he ruled, as well as the citizens and his family members. Since Prithu Maharaj was a perfect king, he gave protection to everyone, and therefore he is described here as Dayita. Omagyan timadandasya inangina shilakaya chakshurin militam jenatasmai sigudave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobishtam shtapitam jenabhutale shayam rupakadamayam dadantisva padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Omam Him Shom Om Parom Tataka Hataka Kesha Gajalat Padakalochana Bad Harakanaka Sparsadeva Singha Namostate. So it is evident in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that Queen Archie, being the enlightened lady that she is not perplexed as Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when he had to deal with the possible death of his relatives. Queen Archie, being the wife of a great soul, actually Maharaj Prithu is Shaktavesha Avatar, a particularly empowered personality to execute the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because, as we were discussing yesterday, she has followed her husband very nicely in Krishna consciousness, she has become enlightened. This is the secret to advancement in Krishna consciousness. Generally in Vedic culture, women are not considered, it is not so easy for a woman to make spiritual advancement. But if the woman has a good Krishna conscious husband, by serving such a great soul, she makes spiritual advancement. So in this age, man, woman, whatever the case may be, everyone has fallen. In previous ages, perhaps we could see some difference because generally the men performed great austerities and penances, their intelligence was very keen, etc. So it was evident the difference, perhaps, between the class of man and the class of woman. But in this age, it's not so evident. Because of so much association with the opposite sex, everyone gets dragged down into material consciousness. This is Kali Yuga. Because of too much association with the opposite sex, man for woman and woman for man, everyone is on the platform of material consciousness. Klosudasambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone is born Shudra, which means, Sudra Prabhupada said, basically just hankering and lamenting, looking for sense gratification, dull-headed person. But in Vedic age, that was not the case. So, but the idea is that whatever situation, however one may be situated, whatever his consciousness may be, if one associates or serves a great soul, one benefits spiritually. Sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi lava mata sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. This verse is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sadhu sangha, that we should seek out the association of saintly persons, because by associating with saintly persons, our life also becomes perfect. So, whatever one's situation, if one can find a devotee to serve, one automatically advances in Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada said that the woman, she shares the spiritual advancement of her husband. Even if one is not very intelligent, still, if one pleases the Lord by serving a devotee, the Lord within the heart will enlighten the candidate. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. To those who constantly serve me with love and devotion, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In other words, spiritual advancement is not based necessarily on our own abilities, but it is dependent upon mercy. So therefore, even if one is an ignorant, what do we say, ignoramus? Even if one is an ignoramus, what a word, an ignoramus, it sounds like a species of life you'd find in New Zealand, like a platypus or something. Even if one is ignoramus, and he cannot even assimilate very well the instructions of his spiritual master, still, there's nothing to be lamented. Actually, I think there's a purport, isn't there, in Bhagavad Gita, where Prabhupada said, even if one is not very intelligent to understand this philosophy, he's very sincere. What happens? The Lord gives him the intelligence from within the heart. So this is the idea. If we want to advance in spiritual life, no matter, even if we're ignoramus, if we can attach ourselves to the lotus feet of a devotee, we'll make spiritual advancement. Why? Because that pleases Krishna. One who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. Love me, love my dog. This is how Śrīla Prabhupāda explained it. So no one should be discouraged from coming to Krishna consciousness. There's no material qualifications, neither are there any material disqualifications for advancing in spiritual life. One has to learn this simple secret. Sadhu sangha sarva shastra koi lava mata sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. This is the secret to spiritual life. We just find out, seek out the association of a devotee, and in his recommendation to Krishna, we make advancement in spiritual life. He is looking for our enthusiasm to serve the Lord, whether we have intelligence or we don't have intelligence. By his blessings, the devotee's blessings, we make advancement in spiritual life. This is the whole secret. So it appears that Mother Archie, though a woman, by serving a great soul like Prithu Maharaj, she has become enlightened. There are many instances of this in Vedic culture, of great ladies who became spiritually advanced due to the service to their husband. So Archie's become spiritually advanced. Therefore, she's so advanced that upon the apparent death of her husband, she's not unnecessarily lamenting. Some lamentation there is there, of course. Of why? Because a great soul has passed away. But she is not lamenting like a sudra is lamenting. She is lamenting on the transcendental lamentation. That person whom, by whose blessings she has become a devotee of the Lord, that person has passed away. So the lamentation is there. But not like Arjuna's lamentation. She knows the difference between matter and spirit. She has understood the difference between the body and the soul. So although the body of her good husband has passed away, she knows that the soul is eternal. So she's not lamenting like Arjuna. Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was being asked to fight his relatives. He had relatives on both sides, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. There were many blood links, relatives there. And just the thought that some of these family members were going to die caused Arjuna to give up the fight and put down his bow. So in the 11th verse of the second chapter, Krishna instructs him, Asochchan anvasochchastvam prajna vadamstu bhashashe. While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. A wise man laments neither for the living nor the dead. So he's instructing Arjuna that your lamentation is on the platform of ignorance. Why? Because you're lamenting for the body. But an intelligent person doesn't lament because he knows that the soul is eternal. And then a few verses down, as Prabhupada quotes here, Dehi nosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jara tatate antarasapaptir diras tatanam muyanti. Krishna says, Dira, one who is sober, muyanti. Muyanti means not deluded. Muyanti. A dira is muyanti. He's not deluded by the deha antara. Deha antara means the transferal of the soul from one body to another. Dehantara actually means yantra, the change of body. So the dira, the sober person, he's muyanti, he's not deluded by the dehantara, or the transfer of the soul from one body to another. He knows that the soul is kutashta. What does kutashta mean? Anyone know what kutashta means? We had one devotee in France, kutashta. Manaji? Huh? Steady, yes. We like our devotees to be kutashta, very steady, not deha antara. No one gets the name deha antara, always flickering and changing. But to get the name kutashta, that is very good. Kutashta means steady. So the soul is actually steady. That means the soul doesn't change. The body does change. Actually, the body, Prabhupada said, goes through six transformations. The first, the body is born, then the body remains. This is how Prabhupada said. The body is born, then it remains, then it grows, then it produces effects, Prabhupada said. This is a very nice way of... It produces certain effects, like children. This is the effect of the body. Very sober way of putting it. Not my darling child, but this is the effect of my body. This body is the effect of this body. And then it dwindles for some time, then it dies. These are the six transformations of matter, of the body. But the soul is kutashta. So one who is enlightened, he knows that the body is dehinosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jana. The kutashta, the soul, which is steady, is experiencing these six transformations. Birth, remaining, growing, the effects dwindling, and then eventually dying. So understanding the difference between matter and spirit, the difference between the body and the soul, being kutashta himself in realization of the soul, diras yata namuyanti. Dira, he remains sober at the moment of death. Prabhupada said only two people are not afraid of death, the fool and the enlightened soul. The fool, because his philosophy is there's nothing after death, or eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So he's foolishly thinking like this. And the dira, or the sober person, who actually knows what happens. So this is Queen Archie. She's not bewildered. But actually, everyone should be dira, sober, in the sense that a little later on, Krishna offers the argument to Arjuna. Atachainam nitya jatam, he says. Atachainam nitya jatam. My dear Arjuna, even if you think that the soul is born and then dies, atachainam nitya jatam, nitya, eternal. Even if you think the soul is born and then it dies, still you have no reason to lament. A transcendentalist doesn't lament because he knows that the soul continues. Kutashta. But Krishna is covering all angles of vision. Even if you don't believe, Arjuna, in the eternality of the soul, still why are you lamenting? Apparently, Prabhupada said, apparently at this time, 5,000 years ago, they were a class of philosophers called Lokayatikas. Lokayatikas. So Lokayatika is probably said they were something akin to the modern, like the modern Buddhists or nihilistic philosophers, who say that everything is simply illusion, there's only void, and when one becomes self-realized, nothing exists, non-existence. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatjade Shatarane. These are two types of impersonal philosophy. One, that the soul loses individuality and merges into the Brahman effulgence. And number two, there's no soul. Nihilistic philosophy akin to the Buddhist, the Lokayatikas. So we don't see any more Lokayatikas around anymore, but we see some groups who have this philosophy. So Krishna is using this argument to Arjuna. But, okay, Arjuna, still, if you can't understand the eternality of the soul, therefore you should not lament. Still, if you think that the soul is just born at the moment of conception, like modern scientists think, like some chemical reaction, and then when that chemical reaction is finished, when the body breaks down, the DNA and RNA and all that just kind of like just starts deteriorating, disintegrating, then still you have no cause to lament, because who laments for a loss of chemicals? If life is simply a combination of chemicals, then who is going to lament? And Prabhupada extends this argument further when he speaks to the scientists. He says, if they believe that they are the body, then why are they lamenting? Every day they are pouring tons of chemicals into the ocean, and no one is lamenting. Of course, this was 1969 when Prabhupada gave this lecture. 1971, there were no oil spills then. There was not so much pollution of the environment. Perhaps Prabhupada wouldn't use that argument now. But it makes sense. If you just go to the ocean and you pour some chemicals or something, who's lamenting that for some loss of chemicals? So Lokayatika. If you take the Lokayatika philosophy of the Buddhist philosophy, then still you have no reason to lament, Arjuna. You're just in Maya. So try to understand. Become dhiras tata na muyanti. Understand, become sober. Don't become muyanti. Don't become deluded with the dehantara, or the transference of the soul from one body to another. Rather, if you're going to be concerned about Bhishma and about Drona, they're old men now. Bhishma's an old man, Krishna said. So still you have no... If they're going to change their body, they're either going to get a material body or a spiritual body. Prabhupada says in the purport, they're going to get a material or a spiritual body. If they get a spiritual body, great. If they get a material body, very nice. They'll go to the heavenly planets. What is the word Prabhupada said? They'll rejuvenate their life. When Kshatriyas died on the battlefield, then immediately they went to the heavenly planets, the sun planet actually, Vivishwan. So therefore Kshatriyas were actually fearless. So of course this is basic philosophy. Everyone here knows the verse. Dehinosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam ja. Everyone knows the verse. Asochjan avasochjastvam. While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. But we need to hear again and again and again the same philosophy that we are not the body. Just like when Prabhupada was speaking with Cardinal Danielu, we were there in Paris. Cardinal Danielu, oh Swamiji, why don't we go on to something more profound, s'il vous plaît? Ça c'est pas bon. Parler de Dieu, de quelque chose plus profond. You understand? We should speak something more deep about God. And Prabhupada was just speaking basic philosophy. S'il vous plaît, monsieur, c'est suffit, he said. Ça suffit, he said to Prabhupada. That's enough! And anyway, Prabhupada kept finally Colonel Daniel just... So Prabhupada chastised him, just like Krishna chastised Arjuna. He chastised him. You want to speak about higher conceptions of love of God, you can't even understand the basic principles. That thou shalt not kill. So before you want to go on to these higher things, let it become well established in your heart, this basic philosophy. So our case is the same. We need to hear again and again and again and again the same thing, that we are not this body. The other day after the program, one boy came up to me and he said, you should understand your audience better. He said, you should have known there's lots of women libbers in this audience and you shouldn't have spoken like that. So, he said, these people are actually very enlightened. I said, really? He said, they're very enlightened souls. He said, you didn't have to speak about reincarnation and vegetarianism. He said, they all know these things. I said, I doubt that. I said, because if one actually realizes something, then he'll practice it. If one actually knows he's not this body, then he'll not act on the bodily platform. This body will be an embarrassing thing. He'll be embarrassed to act on the bodily platform. He'll be embarrassed to exhibit some material symptom, some material quality, just like Pinocchio. Prahlad doesn't know who Pinocchio is. It's okay. Pinocchio, a Walt Disney character. Pinocchio was instructed not to tell a lie. So whenever he would tell a lie, whoop, his nose would go. This long, Prahlad. You like this story? Pinocchio's nose would grow very long. So every time he told a lie, it became very embarrassing because it was evident, it was obvious. So in the same way, a devotee is very careful to keep himself in good Krishna consciousness because it's very embarrassing in the association of his god brothers and god sisters when his nose grows long. Of course, our nose doesn't grow long, but at the same time, it becomes evident that, you know, it's some material quality. So this is the advantage of living in the association of devotees. Prabhupada said if one thinks he can become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees, he's living in a hallucination. Because it's a controlled environment. They have that in science, right? It's a controlled environment, a controlled experiment. And as soon as something comes out of whack, immediately everybody notices. Prabhu, oh, thank you very much. And if someone does something very nice, Hare Krishna, thank you for your service. So it's a controlled environment. So coming onto the bodily platform, the material platform, is very embarrassing for a devotee. It means that he's not practicing Krishna consciousness. Because if you practice Krishna consciousness as it is, steady advancement, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, adoshata tatasadu sangha tabhajana kriya, anarta nivriti siyat, anarta nivriti. Narta means that which is needed for devotional service, and anarta means those things that are not required. So anarta nivriti siyat, by association of devotees, taking up the bhajana kriya, the process of devotional service, these things begin to fall away. And we begin to make problems. But if there's a slip up, one gets acne, pimples. Just like a teenager, it's just body is growing. So if a teenager doesn't control the tongue, eats too many sweets or greasy foods, and all the pimples come out. So it's evident. Mother knows. You're eating sweets. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. So, generally, if we're practicing Krishna consciousness as we're meant to practice it, then it's just steady advancement in Krishna, in devotional service. But neophyte stage means sometimes a little trip here and there, a little stumble, and then false ego. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. All right, I'll change. So this is the value of living in the association of devotees. So we have to hear again and again and again how we're not this body. Because we suffer from the same disease as Arjuna does. Actually, we still think that we're the body. Although intellectually and philosophically we can present the conclusions to our audience and so forth, we're all in the bodily concept of life. Otherwise, we would not entertain the slightest material desire. If we actually thought we weren't the body, when a material desire came, we wouldn't even consider it. We would know that this body is dead matter. And I am spirit soul. So what interest do I have serving that dead material matter? Just like yesterday, we were cleaning out the van here. And we came across an interesting fellow. A wombat. We found a wombat. Where's Namamrita? We found your wombat. Now this wombat, he had neck beads on. And he looked so real that at first when I saw him, I jumped up and hit my head on the top of the thing. A wombat! I always wanted to see a wombat. Ever since I came to this part of the world, I want to see a wombat. The only one I saw was a squished one on the road. I saw one in the in the zoo, wombat. So as soon as I realized this wasn't a real wombat, he had neck beads on. I was going to ask him how many rounds he chanced. As soon as I realized it wasn't a real wombat, then it's just a toy or something. It's no use getting excited about anything. So when I understood what it really was, then it became insignificant. Oh, all right, just it's Mataji's. I don't know what. So the same way, when we actually realize this body as it is, it's just like that wombat. It's just dead matter. The difference between the wombat and the real wombat is that there's a soul present. That's the only difference. There's a soul present and there's not a soul present. Therefore, Prabhupada said, what's more important, the body or the soul? The body depends upon the soul, but the soul doesn't depend upon the body. Therefore, the body is more important. The soul is more important. We should place more emphasis on the soul than the body. So if we actually realized that we weren't these bodies, if we were really convinced that we weren't these bodies, then when material desire comes, insignificant. We consider it like the stuffed animal. Oh, so it's just, so this body is, there's some demands there, so we wouldn't have any desires. We wouldn't be attracted or repulsed. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakanchati. That when one comes to the level of Brahman, he becomes Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. He becomes joyful. Nasochati nakanchati. This is the symptom of a self-realized soul. Nasochati nakanchati. He's neither attracted nor repulsed by anything in this world. Neither attracted nor repulsed. Neither is he attracted to the objects of the senses, and because of his advanced spiritual realization, he does not identify with the body and therefore be repulsed when the body is in a difficult situation. I told the story, I'll tell it again. Prabhupada driving from Calcutta to Mayapur, driving along, and they come across one rickshaw wala who was flattened by a truck. Okay, Tata. So Okay, Tata flattened the rickshaw wala. He was just like a pancake. And the devotees were very much, look at that. Oh, God, it's horrible. Look at all the blood and the guts and the brains and everything. Then when they got to, Prabhupada was sleeping, and they got closer to Mayapur, Prabhupada woke up and they said, Prabhupada, you should have seen this horrible accident, this rickshaw wala got flattened by Okay Tata. So Prabhupada heard the description, and taking, you know, every opportunity to preach like that, Srila Prabhupada simply turned and said, you are thinking it is horrible only because you are identifying with the body. Actually, the soul left that body at the moment of death. So there's the body is simply deteriorating into the earthly elements. But because you identify with the body, you think that it's a horrible thing. So an enlightened soul will understand the difference between the body and the soul. Just like Socrates. When they came to give Socrates the hemlock to drink, then he said, we're going to kill you. So Socrates said, you have to catch me first. Indicating, Prabhupada said, he was a self-realized soul. He knew that he wasn't the body, and if they killed the body, if they really wanted to kill him, they'd have to catch him first. So Queen Archie is like this. She understands the difference between matter and spirit, the body and the soul. But still there's some lamentation there. We're saying that nasochati nakanchati, the self-realized soul doesn't lament or hanker for any material situation. So why is it that being such an enlightened lady that it's described here, kinchit, for a little while she's lamenting. Why is she lamenting? Well, we explained in the beginning, she's lamenting for the loss of a great soul. That type of lamentation is there. Every feeling or symptom of life has its counterpart in the spiritual world, except envy, Prabhupada said. So lamentation is there. Lord Chaitanya inquired from Ramananda Roy, what is the most painful situation? His answer was, the most painful situation is to be separated from the devotees. That type of lamentation is there. And even Srila Prabhupada experienced this lamentation with his own disciples. When Jayananda Prabhu left, Prabhupada said, I'm very much missing your association. This see that transcendental relationships in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also exhibited. He said that Krishna is very kind. He has taken away that diseased body and given you a body just suitable for your devotional service in the spiritual world. So he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnava dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. So we may also lament with the departure of a great... lamentation. Everyone was lamenting. But this purport was there. And I remember the day that Prabhupada left, the temple president read this particular purport to us. The queen should have been afraid of being alone in the forest with the body of her husband, but since she was a great wife of a great personality, she lamented for a while, but immediately understood she had many duties to perform. Thus, instead of wasting her time in lamentation, she immediately prepared a fiery pyre on top of the hill and then placed the body of her husband on it to be burned. So this was great solace to us at that moment, that we understood from Prabhupada's purport that although we were afraid because now we were young children in Krishna consciousness, left alone by our father, still we had our duties to perform. And that taking up the duty, the responsibilities of the spiritual master, of course, always keep us in his association. Vani and Vapu. Vapu means the physical presence, and Vani means the instruction. And of the two, Prabhupada said, actually more important is the instruction. One can always have association. As Prabhupada wrote one time, I always feel that my spiritual master is watching over and protecting me. So by following the instruction of the spiritual master, we feel his presence. And to the degree that we take up that instruction, we can feel the proximity. You can take it one step further. Simply following the instruction means that the association is there. But association means you want to become closer. If you love someone, you want to be closer and closer and closer to them. That is natural. You're not satisfied with just a little association, but you want a lot of association. So if we actually want a lot of association with Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, become deeper in our relationship with Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, then the more that we take up his instructions, the more we try to fulfill those instructions, the more we become qualified to have Śrīdhara Prabhupāda's association. And that association is there for everyone, because it is not based necessarily on physical proximity. I'll call that a special treat. That was a special treat for those 10 years, to have Prabhupāda's association. But Prabhupāda's mercy is as available to persons now as when Prabhupāda was here. It's just as available now as it was then, because it's based on following those instructions. So if we take up the instructions, then we have that association. So therefore, there's no reason to be afraid. Just like Archie, she's in the middle of a forest, and her husband, who protected her, is dead. You just imagine the scene. Imagine this is a wild forest somewhere. Her powerful husband is there protecting her, not only spiritually, but also materially. And all of a sudden he dies. She's a frail woman. Isn't it? Last verse it mentioned. Because she wasn't fit for these austerities of living in the forest, she became very frail and very thin. So here she is in the middle of a forest, a wild jungle. And her husband dies, so here's the hill. She drags his strong body, her frail body, just imagine all alone, dragging him. She builds a fire. She puts her husband on the fire and then burns the body of her husband. Fearless. So in the same way, by taking shelter of the Lord and his devotees, we can also become a Bhai Charan. We can become fearless in the execution of our duties, because we're also in the middle of a jungle. It's only our illusion that makes us think that we're safe here. I mentioned the other day that when I finally came out of my room for being sick for so long, the whole world had changed. Everybody was in anxiety about the war, including the devotees. I even got a letter from one devotee. He was so much anxiety. So I said, "You're watching too much CNN, listening to too much BBC. I said, "Be careful, don't associate with these materialistic persons. Their life is simply full of anxiety. This is the result, this is their world karmic reaction. The whole world's in anxiety
about, even though the war is taking place thousands and thousands and thousands, it probably won't even affect them in any way. It's just a karmic reaction. They have to be in great anxiety. So I said, what is the difference between, we're not any safer here in Durban, South Africa, than we are, than one would be anywhere. It's just as dangerous here as it is on the Gulf, because you could die at any moment. Death is all pervading. But wherever a devotee is, if he's Krishna conscious, he realizes he doesn't have anything to be afraid of. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. So a devotee simply goes on with his devotional service. And in that sense, being fearless, he can take many risks for spreading Krishna consciousness. A devotee is not afraid. So that is the same situation with Archie. Although she's frail, she's a woman, she's alone in the forest, she's fearless because she's become enlightened by taking shelter of her spiritual master, her husband, Maharaj Prithu. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Everyone's a little sleepy this morning. You remember anything I said? Yes, Manoj.
Not being afraid of relying on Krishna, it doesn't mean though that we should be sensible
as then say if you're in
the
Gulf.
Sensible if you have an opportunity to save
people. Yeah, that's common sense. We don't voluntarily put ourselves in dangerous situations, but at the same time, we should realize it is dangerous everywhere. My point I was making is that it's dangerous everywhere. It's not that we're safe in this material world by any stretch of the imagination. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. That's the Bhagavatam's philosophy. Samshita ye pada palava plavam mahat padam punya yasomani bhavam vunirvatsa padam param padam param padam yat vipadam natesham. That there's danger at every step. So therefore we should be Krishna conscious under all circumstances. But a devotee is not foolish. He doesn't voluntarily put himself in an extremely dangerous situation, thereby losing his opportunity to the human form of life. There's mixed relationships too. Just like Arjuna has a relationship of service to the Supreme Lord, but he's also his friend. So we may also see in our different relationships a mixture of those different humors of relationships and devotional service. Said what?
We don't get on. My husband and I, we don't get on. Mm-hmm. We try to get on with people, we try and we can't. Even, so then you should make Krishna your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So in some circumstances where we may see that we try to get on with certain devotees, and repeatedly you keep trying, that doesn't work. Should we just leave that alone and just get on with our devotional service, or should we always be trying?
Well, I can answer that one time. Prabhupada is always insisting that we cooperate with our GBC. you know, in all circumstances, we cooperate with the GBC man, the principle that we cooperate. So then one devotee was very frustrated. He couldn't work with this GBC man. So he was ready to leave. And then Prabhupada instructed him, well, then you find a GBC man you can work with and you associate with him. So it's also like that in Krishna consciousness, that we have, we should be able, we offer respects to all devotees, but there may be certain devotees who particularly enthuse us in Krishna consciousness, or we whose example we like, and we can particularly seek out that association. We should never avoid the association of any devotee. We should always be respectful. But water seeks its own level, isn't it? So the principle is also true in Krishna consciousness. And that's why it's so wonderful. There's so many varieties of devotees whom we can associate with. And we see, just like Prabhupada said one time, I remember the lecture in Detroit, he said, you are all my parts and parcels. Now go out and preach Krishna consciousness. So each, as I looked around the room, I realized each devotee, I admired this particular devotee because he had a particular quality which I liked. Prabhupada had everything. It's like our Krishna, Prabhupada said, he's Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has all the opulences of God. Even Narayan, Krishna has, what, 60? And Narayan has, what, 50? Krishna has four qualities which distinguish him from all other living entities. He's playing his transcendental flute. He's surrounded by devotees engaged in loving devotional service, etc. So we'll see that in the Vaishnavas and the devotees, particular qualities which enthuse us in Krishna consciousness. And we can associate with those devotees accordingly. Some devotees exhibit the quality of renunciation, or some scholarship, or some enthusiasm, or some cooking, or whatever. So it's better to look at it like that. Not that I prefer not to associate with this devotee because I can't get along with him, but this devotee I can. But our vision should try to see the good qualities in each devotee. And every devotee has good qualities, otherwise what would he be doing in Krishna consciousness? Each devotee is possessed of wonderful qualities. So the variety is the spice of life. We'll find different devotees manifesting different Krishna consciousness qualities. So even if we don't feel so inclined to a particular devotee, we should train ourselves to see what is that person's good quality. And let me associate with that devotee by serving that devotee and try to get some of his mercy to imbibe that particular quality. And if we see some fault in a devotee, there's that saying, you can't see faults in others unless you have them in yourselves, in ourselves. We can't see a fault in someone unless we recognize that fault in our own heart. That's why Nuttama Adhikari, because he's faultless, he sees everyone engaged in Krishna's service. This is Uttama Adhikari. He sees everything in relationship to Krishna, the material energy, Maya Dakshena Prakriti. Krishna is all working under my direction. He sees everything in relationship to Krishna. He sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. He's completely pure. So he sees just everyone engaged in devotional service. Therefore, Nuttama Adhikari has to come down to the platform of Madhyam Adhikari to preach. He has to make distinction. God, the devotee, the innocent, and the demon. He has to come down. But the conditioned soul, he has these faults within his heart. Therefore, he recognizes them in others. It's like a mirror. So when we see the fault in another devotee, we shouldn't condemn that devotee. Just like Prahlad used to sleep in class. He doesn't sleep in class anymore, if you've noticed. Never sleeps in class anymore. He's also a good cook. He can also give Bhagavatam classes. So a devotee, when he sees, we can see the fault in other devotees. But we should realize why we're seeing that fault. And that very devotee whom we're seeing that fault can be merciful to us because we can see it as a reflection of our own heart. So therefore, even you don't want to associate with someone because perhaps for some reason, why don't you want to associate? Look at it as a mirror. The reason I can't associate with that person is it reminds me that I'm greedy, that I'm lusty, that I'm angry. You see that quality. And that way, actually, we become eager to associate with all. If we can come up to that standard of Krishna consciousness, that level of devotional service, then we'll associate with anybody. We'll want to associate with devotees who are possessed of wonderful Vaishnava quality. And even the devotees, apparently, you know, there's some residue there. I don't want to associate with that person. And we can say, ah, thank you very much. You've reminded me about my materialistic qualities. So therefore it's described that even if a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava means one who's taken to the chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Even if that Vaishnava falls, we may not want intimate association, but some respect is still given there. Because he's a Vaishnava, he's chanted Hare Krishna, in his heart he's a devotee, but he can't maintain. So some respect is given there, but not intimate association. So Vaishnavas are very special people. They can act to reveal to us in many ways the glories of devotional service, positively and negatively. Well, that's another thing, because actually they're not devotees. They're not devotees. Just like we have in Russia, Bhakti Berry may know this also. In Russia, we have initiated devotees who are KGB men. Devotees told me this last time I was there, because, you know, very confidential inside secrets get out. And these are not just, these are top, somewhere in the echelon of top devotees. I don't make any offenses, but... There's KGB. I mean, these KGB, they were devotees were telling me what they go through, you know, to get trained for espionage. They actually have a transformation of personality. I mean, not just speaking about, you know, Christian, you know, to come into our movement, but to like to go to America. Sometimes when you try to listen to the BBC, you know, you get it. You come to it sounds just like the BBC, but there's just it sounds like really good, you know, British accent. Jolly good. You just notice a little bit, well, there's something funny here. Radio Moscow! Or like, you know, sometimes there was another station in the far, I think some Chinese station or something, you know. It sounds just like John Wayne. I'd like to thank you all for listening in today, and we're going to try to get a weather report. Hello, the world. This is Radio Peking, and... These guys are like, they get trained, you know. They get really, really trained to be like, you know, an Israelite person or an American person or whatever. I think when the Israelis went into Africa and they saved, that plane was hijacked. It was a famous story. The Israelis came in, you know, they flew very low, just a treetop level from Israel to some country in Africa. It was a surprise raid. To get back some Israeli persons who had been kidnapped, so they came in at tree level, and they had this. They opened up the plane, and you know trucks rolled out, and the trucks were exactly like that African nation, looked exactly like that, and the Israelis who came out, they looked exactly like African people. They were so expert at camouflage. And I think the president of that country, that African nation, they dressed up a big fat Israeli, and he learned the language. He knew the language. So he posed. They had a parade and completely bewildered the people. They had a parade right to the place where the prison where they're being kept. And the president of the country got out and said, release these Israelis now. I want to take them someplace. So the guards opened the door. Yes, he's the president of the country. Open the door. And the Israelis flew right back to Tel Aviv, which is... It's one of the greatest escapes ever known. They're so expert. So they're very expert at camouflage. So the Russians are doing that. They've got some personality who's, you know, so expert at being a devotee that he got initiated, he's got responsibility. But, you know, because he's giving all the information back, he's going to be one of those persons that we hear about in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna cast him down into various demoniac species of life, birth after birth after birth. But still, he's getting the benefit, because every day he's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. The Lord's so merciful. Just like Palambasura. Wasn't it Palambasura? He was a calf, or a cowherd boy. Calf. These yogis are so expert that they have mystic powers. This is one of the yogic cities. You can take any form that you like. So all the demons, Putana, and her brother was who? There was two brothers and a sister. There's Putana, I just read the chapter. Anyway, they had mystic power, so they could take any form that they like. So Palamasura, he came in and pretended he was a calf, but Krishna knew who he was. So Krishna killed him. He got killed by the Lord for sin of coming in and wanting to cause disturbance to the cowherd boys and Krishna. He got killed. But what happened when he got killed? Because he was killed by the Lord, he went to the Brahman, impersonal Brahman. So any way we come in contact with Krishna is favorable. Prabhupada said the demons who are killed by the Lord, they go to the impersonal Brahman. The devotees who have love for the Lord, they go to Golok. And those who neither hate the Lord nor love the Lord, when they're killed in the presence of the Lord, they go to Vaikuntha. Like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The enemy, they were simply fighting out of duty for Dhritarashtra, the Kauravas. They didn't hate the Lord. They didn't love the Lord. But the fact that they were on the battlefield, face to face with the Lord, when they got killed, Vaikuntha. And Krishna was very merciful to the demons. Putana, Trinivarta, Agasura, they got... Well, Putana was a special case. She became Krishna's mother, Goloka. But generally, the demons, they go to the impersonal Brahman. So, you know, someone who comes into Krishna consciousness with, you know, like a demon, in other words, coming to... Really, we're really talking about a real demoniac person who just comes for some reason and just exploits the movement, takes money or whatever, does so many things like this, never becomes inimical later on. Then, of course, that person's association we shouldn't take. But the Lord is so merciful. I mean, even the Prakriti Sahajas, you know, who misrepresent devotional service, you know, by making a whole mockery of the whole thing by, you know, dressing up like gopis and having illicit sex, all these things. See, still Prabhupada said, they're chanting of Hare Krishna. If they keep chanting, they have a shadow attachment. The holy name is so powerful, they'll also be delivered. Holy name and devotional service is so amazing. But let Krishna work on them. We don't have to. We shouldn't associate with them. Let Krishna deal with them. Just like I told Kalas the other day, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was giving a lecture in a Gaudiya Math temple. And it wasn't a big temple, but it was open doors and windows. And during the lecture, a cat was chasing a bird. The bird had a broken wing. Is chasing it, and the cat chased the bird during the lecture. Squeak, squawk, going around. They went around the temple three times, and finally, right in front of all the devotees, the cat pounced on the bird and just ripped it to a bloody mess. And feathers were flying, and it was a ghastly sight. And all the devotees, ooh! And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati pointed to that dead bird. He said, "That bird went back to Godhead." That bird went back to God. Said yes, because he circumambulated the deity of the Lord three times, and then he died. So he went. So such is the power of devotional service. So these, if there are demoniac persons who come into Krishna conscious movement, like Palamasura, we should be careful not to associate with them. But the fact that they're in, somehow or other, they're going to get some benefits. So all glories to Bhagavan Shri Krishna, Patita Pavana, deliverer of the most fallen, even the rascals. Who knows? Maybe I'm a demon. Still getting some benefit. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Padayatra ki.